So, I am here with Diane Karp. It's weekday three of the KSFR Fun Drive. Day three on the Radio Cafe of the KSFR Fun Drive. And I'm on in the mornings and the afternoons all week. Welcome, Diane Karp, to the Radio Cafe. Diane Karp is former executive director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she is currently a KSFR board member. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. Good morning, Santa Fe.
And good morning,
Blender. I just
want
to remind everybody how very important it is. The word you used was live. I just came back from 3 months on the road, my Great American Road Tour, and I have to tell you that it's very rare that you hear live voices on the radio anymore.
Right.
And it's one of the things that distinguishes KSFR. We get to hear Craig Barnes, and we get to hear Mary Charlotte, and we get to hear Amy Goodman live.
Yeah, we hear Amy Goodman live at 6 a.m.
6 a.m., and of course we rebroadcast it, but we have so many voices that are voices from our community. Our producers are from every corner of our community. We hear from Somos un Pueblo, Nido, and we hear jazz, and we hear voices that represent the people that live here.
Let's give the phone number. 428-1393 is the number for the KSFR Pledge Drive. And we're going to be talking about a variety of subjects today, including, well, we'll get to that in a moment, but we wanted to tell you that Diane Karp has offered a generous match, a challenge today.
A challenge match, yes indeed. I'm making my annual contribution of $500 to KSFR because I depend on it, because I know that it's going to be the kind of information that keeps me informed, and we know full well that one of the most important things for functioning democracy is to have informed citizens and informed members of our community.
So $500, and here's the challenge for this morning. For every dollar that Diane Karp has generously challenged us with this morning, we would like our listeners to give $2. So if you would like to, if we can have 500 callers in the next hour who give $2 each.
Perfect.
Or 250 callers who give $4 each.
Yes.
Or 20 callers who
You're
give $50 each. Sorry. I'm not even a math nerd. I'm an arithmetic nerd. Anyway, if we have, let's try for 20 callers who give $50 each. Now,
and one of the things that I'm hoping is that the callers who assume every morning when they get up or every afternoon when they turn on their radio that KSFR is going to be there and supplying the kinds of information they count on, the kinds of music, the kinds of voices, then these are the people who have to be thoughtful about the fact that the plumber expects to be paid for his services, and the lawyer and the doctor. KSFR doesn't demand the money, but it needs the money.
Yeah, we need contributions.
You will have KSFR whether you give money or not, but it is perfectly clear that if you pay for the service, you will feel, one, more a part of it, and two, responsible for making sure that it continues.
428-1393, 428-1393 is the phone number, and we are looking for $1,000 from our listeners to match the $500 that Diane Karp is giving this morning. Now, Diane, I wanted to ask you some questions about yourself and your own life. You have recently retired from the Santa Fe Art Institute after 12 years there. So you were there ever so slightly longer than I've been at KSFR. And you and I have been doing this show together since the fall of 2003.
Yes, yes. We've talked about the arts. We've talked about the great diversity of the creative genius that is to be found in nooks and crannies and in major institutions all over Santa Fe.
And all over the world.
And all over the world, absolutely. One of the things that is remarkable about the Art Institute's history is that it was a community-based, is a community-based art center with great international reach. So we brought artists and writers and performers and practitioners from all over the world to come and engage with the communities here, and that's what KSFR does as well.
Well, it's interesting because I've been having people from various institutions around the city on this show during the Fun Drive, And yesterday afternoon, we talked to Jason Silverman from the CCA. And there are parallels between community radio, community arts organizations, organizations like the Lensic that bring people in from all over the community and all over the world. And it's basically, when you think about what makes a community, it is people really giving and engaging and talking to each other the way you guys have done at the Art Institute. When you look back on your 12 years there, are there any like highlights for you?
There are, and they fall into so many different categories. One of them was the Living River event. We decided that we were going to participate in the international demonstrations, creative demonstrations about environmental issues that were part of the global event, the Copenhagen Climate Conference. And they decided that they were going to have a satellite take photographs of these events and then broadcast them around the world.
Not just an airplane.
Not just an airplane. And that drove our gathering of community leaders, community organizations, everything from the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and the church organizations right through to the arts organizations, the community and neighborhood organizations, and the environmental organizations. The city played as well, and we had over 1,500 people out in the Santa Fe riverbed, the dry riverbed, creating a human flash flood of blue. And it became viral. We were on the BBC, we were on Japanese TV, we were highlighted in so many different magazines, and it brought attention to Santa Fe, not just for its arts and culture, not only for its diverse cultural groups, because we had the native communities out there doing buffalo dances and doing prayers for the river, but it demonstrated that this is a city that can come together as a community and do something collective.
There's nothing like getting out of the house.
Oh, there is nothing like getting out of the house. I think it was said that three-quarters of life is just showing up.
Yeah, Woody Allen.
Woody Allen. Yes, indeed. But that
Woody
was
Woody Allen, who also was the author of the phrase, "I am two with nature."
I have a son-in-law who used to mutter that nature was always trying to kill him.
428-1393 is the number for the KSFR fund drive, and we're just hitting 10% of our goal of $1,000 for this hour to match the $500, to double the $500 that Diane Karp has donated. So that was one fantastic project, and I think one of the things that's going on in the arts these days is that our survival on Earth, our survival of pollution, climate change, and overpopulation has become on the forefront of people's minds, and there's a lot more both art addressing environmental concerns and art that is community rather than sort of solitary art.
I think art has ultimately always been community-based. I think artists, whether they're writers or they're visual artists or they're filmmakers, have always been the voice of conscience for our community. You can go all the way back to Michelangelo, and in the Sistine Chapel, there's an extraordinary, huge painting, not just the ceiling, but the wall over the altar, that really challenged assumptions that came out of the Council of Trent. And, you know, we think of artists as these sort of solitary characters who are only
with a bare light bulb
exactly,
with flies buzzing around,
representing
it.
Only what's inside their head. And some of them certainly would meet that description. But in general, the writers and the artists of every culture have been the ones who have voiced the deepest concerns and oftentimes the most powerful voices that resonate not only in their own time, but they continue to resonate through history. And so if we want to figure out what's going on in history, you can either read the dominant narrative that's usually in a book, Pliny or whoever it is from ancient times forward.
Pliny.
Or you can go and look at the art itself And what you get out of that is this multi-layered, diverse version of the history of the time.
4281393, and we just surpassed 20% of our goal for this hour.
And the other thing that I want to mention, and I really want this to be clear, is the new ED at the Santa Fe Art Institute is a young man named Sanjit Sethi. He is smart and handsome and talented, and one of the great joys of building an institution, which we did over the last 12 years, is to be able to pass it on to a new person
who's handsome.
Well, handsome doesn't hurt, that's for sure. But someone who can take their ideas and their energies and really move the institution forward. That's when institutional health is most obvious. So
that's a very interesting thing, because you have had to be engaged in a process of not only legacy, but of letting go.
Absolutely, and it's a great joy. And one of the things that I want to mention is on October 14th, an extraordinary young man named Dred Scott is coming to the Art Institute, and he's going to be talking about important social issues. His work recently has been about stop and frisk, not only in New York, but a similar phenomenon that's going on in London and in Leeds. And what he's managed to do is to challenge assumptions that are made about racial profiling and to bring it to the fore to really make people stop and think about stop and frisk.
Stop and frisk being the program whereby the New York City police, and I guess other police in other cities also, will just stop people, and usually young men with darker skin.
Exactly, both African American and Hispanic.
Right.
And what they've done is
and just search them with their bodies
without any provocation,
without any Fourth Amendment guarantees of privacy or.
And sadly, that's racial profiling has always been part of our security systems. They think that people who have dark hair and dark skin and dark eyes are more likely to be associated with, well, now after 2001, with terrorism, but the suspicions that underlie a lot of our social assumptions have always manifested in those kinds of engagements around security. But in New York City and in London, it is now legal. And
right.
That's the critical mass. The critical mass is we need to take those laws and we need to dismantle and critically analyze them. Because what we found is that most of the individuals who have been stopped and frisked for doing nothing, for being on the street.
Yeah, walking while black.
Walking while black, exactly, or walking while dark, have been found to have nothing that they have done that is wrong, nothing on them, nothing around them, and their lives have been transformed.
Right. I mean, if somebody was not likely to commit a crime, being stopped and frisked like that, it awakens so much anger. And
it certainly does.
I mean, I put myself in those shoes, and I'd be like, you know what? If that happened to me, I'd want to commit a felony right then and there.
Well, I think that that's an assumption that's somewhat flawed.
No, I'm not assuming anything. I'm just telling you.
I know. So we're going to be sure that nobody stops and frisks you. That's the only way we're going to keep
or
you out of trouble.
Or watch out, ladies and gentlemen.
But I think that it creates a terrible sense of the lack of civil rights, the lack of civil liberties. And, you know, it was Franklin who said, any person who gives up a shred of civil liberties in the name of security is a fool and doesn't deserve to be a citizen.
I think it goes, if you give up freedom in the name of security, you deserve neither.
That's right.
4281393, 4281393, and we are now over 25% of our goal. Doing well.
The arts community, the cultural community, you've all got to get your checkbooks, get your fingers going. You can go online, make donations that way as well.
KSFR.org.
KSFR.org. But this is a vital part of a good, functioning, open, democratic community.
4281393, we have a goal of $1,000 for this hour, in addition to the challenge of $500 that Diane has given us. So Our callers have been so wonderful in the morning, and this afternoon at 5 o'clock, which is the slot in which we've been playing the Radio Cafe in the afternoon since the passing of our beloved Diego Mulligan. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, we're having the city council meeting.
Yes.
And the city council meeting starts at 5 o'clock here on, is broadcast on at 5 o'clock every time there is a city council meeting. And so I will be here at 4 o'clock with Bill DuBois. Now, Bill DuBois is one of the great environmental writers of our time. He is based here in New Mexico. He has written a marvelous book called A Great Aridness. He's written many other books as well. And if you make a donation of $25 or more any time today, and you specify it, this is the thing, you've got to actually tell the very nice person on the telephone that you want to be in the raffle, you can be in a drawing for lunch with Bill DuBois. And so he will take you to the Zia Diner, and you can talk about environmentalism. You can talk about,
talk about anything. Bill DuBois is one of the great Renaissance men of contemporary culture. Bill is bright and engaged and creative. And in fact, one of his books, Enchantment and Exploitation, was the book that introduced me to this part of the world. I had never been in the Southwest before I came for this job.
Uh-huh.
And that book gave me a context and an overview that was so much more realistic than the sort of colorful picture books that make it look like the happy village of Marie de Medici here in Santa Fe. The other thing that I want to mention, now that I'm a member of the KSFR Board of Directors, Board of Trustees, is that KSFR went through a crazy transition. All nonprofits do. Nonprofit life, like all organisms, has ups and downs, but KSFR has really made a directed, focused commitment as a board to see KSFR onto its next place in the world. Just as I passed the Art Institute on to Sanjeet's able hands, KSFR is really moving on to its next stage of life.
It's true. I mean, I think there are, we talked about this the other day here on the radio, there are kind of life cycles and cycles of development, not only in organisms, but in organizations.
Which are like organisms.
Which are the same etymology, ladies and gentlemen. And you go from kind of a fledgling stage to a more mature stage. And mm-hmm. I think we're just heading into, after more than 10, 11 years, we're heading into a kind of mature, really finding our, well, I said fledgling, okay, wings.
keep the metaphor consistent.
Finding our feet, stage of our existence as an organization. And I think we are stable. You know, I go to meetings at the station, and everybody is such a pro there who's
Absolutely.
Working there. And it is just a delight. You know, I think a lot of us learned on the job. I know I did.
Certainly.
And now we've learned what we do and are able to develop it. And when people have asked me, and a lot of people have said, you know, what's going on at KSFR? How are you guys doing? I say, you know, I can honestly, with all my heart and soul, say we are better off than we've ever been in the 12 years that I've been there.
Absolutely. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Dal Dierman and Linda Highhill, each of those general managers helped to bring KSFR forward. And now we're moving on to the next stage, and we're in the midst of a search for the new general manager. But hats off to George Weston, who is doing a brilliant job as interim. We're all working on making KSFR stable and consistent, no less creative, no less responsive to the community. And we need the community to respond to us. So folks, go to the phones, go to the website. The phone number is
428-1393.
And people from outside the listening area can call into the 800 number.
Which is actually, it's a toll-free number, 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. And we are working our way dollar by dollar upwards and onwards. We've hit over 35% of our goal. And we are getting there, I think, quickly. We may meet and surpass our $1,000 goal.
That would be awesome.
Match your... We may have to up it. We have to make it a little higher.
Well, and the challenge will be that when Bill Dupuis is on this afternoon, you've got to even do better, because he's way more important.
He is a wonderful person, and you are a wonderful person. I think when we talk about, you know, more important, I used to kind of bristle when somebody said, oh, so-and-so is important. I still do, because as an American, I really internalize this, all men and women are created equal, and I really feel strongly that what democracy is everybody has a voice, everybody is endowed with equal rights, everybody is endowed with equal importance, and yeah, some people do incredible, amazing things, and some people sit there on their couch and watch television all their lives, but on some level, we are all children of this beautiful earth, and I think that's, in some way, I can't exactly explain it, but that informs why I do public radio.
Well, one of the things, my children run marathon, and one of the things that...
What?
Oh, yeah. You know, you put them in school and they learn to do cross country and then suddenly they're running marathons. But the point of this is, at one point I said, everyone should be out running a marathon. And my kids looked at me and said, God forbid. Yeah. God forbid everybody was out here running the marathon. There wouldn't be room on the street. We need people to cheer us on. We need people to hand us glasses of water. We need people to give us a towel when we're done. And everybody plays a very important role in making the world work.
I like to think of that as some people are greyhounds, other people are dachshunds.
The dog metaphor.
I'm a dachshund.
And some are beagles.
428-1393 is the number. The phones are ringing. We're doing very well this morning. We're very happy about it. 428-1393. But let's keep the phones ringing. It's just about 8:30. And actually, we're going to take a little break to hear from our beloved underwriters. And we'll be back in just a minute.
Bless them.
And we are here at the Santa Fe Baking Company with Diane Karp, former director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, current board member at KSFR. And you have had such an interesting life and such an interesting career, Diane Karp. And one of the things that you just did after you left the Santa Fe Art Institute was you got in your car with your beagle, who is one of
beagle.
The most beautiful creatures I've ever known, that sweet little dog. And drove, what, 8,000 miles?
9,241.
Good heavens.
Yes.
Where'd you go? What'd you do? Why'd you do it?
Well, I started out, Molly Sturgis from Little Globe and I started out on the road trip. We drove down through New Mexico to Tucson, Arizona for a rather remarkable conference on the arts and vibrant and resilient cities. That was at the Tucson Pima Arts Council, and then Molly flew home, and I took off from there, and I drove along the southern border. I kept off of Route 10, which everyone kept insisting was the right route to take, and it started the whole process of having the opportunity to get to see and get to feel and smell and taste the diversity of the landscape and the population that makes up the United States.
And so you just went on small roads?
I took mostly blue highways, and I made decisions about doing things like if I had to stop for gas, I would take a road that had a hand-painted sign on it and just meander down to a little tiny town and walk the dog and walk myself and have a cup of tea or a meal and fill up the tank. Now, I have to tell you, I'm driving a Toyota Prius. Thank you, Joyce Idema. I inherited, actually I bought her used Prius.
Nice.
And it meant I didn't stop all that often. So I decided when I was stopping, I was going to really get a taste of small town USA.
428-1393, by the way, is the telephone number, and we're approaching 50% of our $1,000 goal for this
Fabulous.
Hour. So, okay.
So what I did was I
What's
went...
What's a blue highway?
A blue highway, if you look at a map, the major roads, the interstates, and that was another thing that I guess I forgot. It is the Dwight D. Eisenhower interstate system. It was after the Second World War that Dwight D. Eisenhower realized that if you had to move armaments and goods from one coast to the other, or from north to south in this nation, it wasn't going to be an easy thing to do. And so he made the commitment to build a road infrastructure that is a web that crosses the U.S. And the even numbers go east to west, I learned, and the odd numbers go north to south. And so I took off and I went all the way across to California. For a while I drove on US 1, which is the old highway, and then for a while I drove on US 5 because a friend who is the OSHA director for Jerry Brown out in California wanted to know whether all the sites of field and farm workers was providing water and shade for the workers. So I was sort of driving along and taking notes and reporting back. Went up through California into Oregon, from Oregon up through Washington into British Columbia and Vancouver. Then I came back down, hung out with my kids in Portland, and then took off on the major part of the road trip. And I drove the Columbia River Gorge all the way across the Chimney of Idaho and into Montana. And I stopped at Glacier National Park with my dog, got there late one evening, and to my great surprise, learned that you can't have dogs in national park lodges.
That's a tragedy.
And
I'm going to give the phone number because it's been very quiet over the last couple of minutes. 428-1393. I think what's happening is people are riveted to your story. So you can listen, ladies and gentlemen, because we'll take a break in a moment. 428-1393. So what happened? You had this beautiful beagle with you.
I showed up late at the National Park at Glacier. And the park ranger who met me said, "Oh, I'm really sorry. You can't have the dog in the National Park lodges." And we stood and we talked for a while, and he was giving me some suggestions of what I could do or where I could go. And you're not really close to a lot of motels, and the choices weren't great. And then he looked down at B, who was very quietly lying there waiting for us to finish our conversation, and he said, "My God, she's got better manners than most of the kids that come through here." And he said, "Is she a personal assistance dog?" And I said, "No, she's not." And he said, "She's a personal assistance dog." And I said, no, she's not." And he said, "You could say she's a personal assistance dog. She's very well-mannered." I said, "But she's not." And he looked down at me and he sort of finally said, "We're going to call her your personal assistance dog."
He was cueing you and you weren't, you're such an obedient little girl, you weren't even taking in the cue.
I'm not good at sort of figuring out the way to use the system. And so B and I stayed at the National Lodge at Glacier and spent the next 2 days wandering around Glacier National Park before we went back on the road in Montana and stopped in little cities like Ennis. Ennis, as it turns out, is where they filmed Brokeback Mountain.
No, this is Montana?
Ennis, Montana. And it runs along the Madison River. It is one of the most perfect places for trout fishing and fly fishing in the U.S. And it literally looks like a backlot set from 20th Century Foxes.
Right.
All the people came right out of Central Casting. Everybody was wearing a fishing vest. Everyone had fishing flies hooked in and looked healthy and rugged and all American. It was phenomenal. And
428-1393 is the number. And we are talking about Diane Karp, and we're also talking about the KSFR Fun Drive and the challenge, which we haven't met yet, although we have exceeded 50% of the challenge of $1,000 for this hour. So please call, and call immediately, 428-1393, because we'd like to meet and exceed that, if at all possible. And I know it is possible, because we've got a lot of people listening right now.
Absolutely. And one of the things that people really need to understand is, it became really clear to me as I drove, listening to my radio, all over the United States, that it is a rare thing to be able to tune in to a station that has the diversity of voice and the diversity of programming that KSFR does. What you find most places is you're listening to these homogenized and somewhat controlled voices of NPR, and you hear the same voices no matter where you are on the road. Sometimes it's refreshing, because some of the radio is pretty awful, But most of the time, it's a little disconcerting because what you want to hear when you move through the country, as opposed to flying over it, looking down at it, is the voices of the community that you are driving through.
Right, and you'd like to hear those fishing reports.
You'd like to hear the price of hogs coming through Tennessee.
Did you get that?
Yes, I did. One of the funniest stories coming through Tennessee and into Arkansas was a local radio station that was talking about watermelon and how the contemporary culture that's driven by corporations and the need to transport vegetables and fruits over long distances because farms are disappearing was that the same thing that happened to the tomato is now happening to the watermelon. It's becoming smaller, seedless, tasteless, and this is what they're saying on the radio. And everybody's very serious about it because melons are a big part of Arkansas. And then they started talking about this guy who had been growing a prize melon for the state fair. And the melon was about 1,100 pounds. And someone broke into his field and stole the melon. And they're talking about the complexity of stealing a melon that weighs over 1,100 pounds, which would require a large truck, several large men, probably a hoist. And what would they do with it after they stole it? They certainly couldn't take it to a county or a state fair because everyone would know it was Zeke's melon.
That's right.
Because Zeke had this famous melon. And they never found it, and they talked about the price of melons. And then on the radio comes another voice, and it's an Arkansas farmer who is calling to say he's had a lot of trouble with folks stopping by the side of the road and going into his field and just taking melons. Now, those melons are his income. That's how he lives his life. And melons are really valuable. So he said, they said to him, oh my God, that's terrible. What did you do? And he said, well, my wife and I, we talked, and we come up with a solution. And I expected him to say they went out with their rifles and they sat in the field. But no, he and his wife created a large sign that they put up in the melon field that said, one of these melons is poison.
Oh, my goodness.
And they said, well, did it work? And he said, it certainly did. I had no more melons getting stolen. He said, but strangely, about 2 weeks later, I go down to the field, and someone's gone into the field and changed the sign. And now it reads, two of these melons is poison.
It was hearing
the voice and the concerns and the community energy as you drove through the U.S.
And the 4281393 is the number here at the KSVR Fun Drive. And the phones have been so quiet. Diane, you have to stop being so interesting.
Okay. I'm not going to tell stories
until
we get some more phone calls. So
okay.
Go to your phone. Pick up the phone because I've got one of the most hysterical stories about the LED signs on the major highways.
4281393. And I think we've got some thank yous from the control room.
Yeah, the phone just rang as I'm sitting here wanting to thank several people.
Awesome.
Ellen Bradley Reed.
Thank you, Ellen.
Ellen Bradbury Reed.
Bradbury.
Oh, they wrote Bradley.
Yeah, what
are
they
all right. And of course, our friend Agnes Langdon.
Yay, thank you.
And then there was one from The Surprises.
The
Surprises?
I believe you know these people.
Okay,
and
well,
I think that's their last name, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, the phone room volunteers sometimes write things in a handwriting that is calligraphic.
And some of those phone room volunteers are the KSF board members, which means no holds are barred.
4281393. But do we have any from before? Because the phones were ringing like crazy before.
We have Irene Lalouf.
Thank you.
And Margie Lane from Los Alamos, who loves Jim Hightower.
Yay.
And Tom Leach.
Yay,
Tom is one of the people who's getting the Mayor's Award.
The Mayor's Award for Excellence in the Arts.
Yes.
And, of course, the Family Anonymous.
Yay.
We love Anonymous.
We do. We love them. 4281393. And we are really on the way to meeting our $1,000 goal for this hour. So I think we need another, half a dozen phone calls, I think.
Absolutely.
Is about it. And we will be there. Or two or three phone calls with major donations, major being, $100, $200. And one of the ways that you can make kind of a little major donation without it hurting at all is to call. Well, you have to call 428-1393, but you can give a monthly donation. And if you give a monthly donation of like $10 or $15 or maybe $20, something like that, you can then support KSFR in a sustaining way. You don't have to pick up the phone again during fund drives unless you want to give like just a little extra amount. And it makes a huge difference for KSFR because it's a steady flow of people helping us. And if you have never done that before, I do that with a handful of organizations, and I give a small amount each month. And it's very nice for me because then you know that you are supporting those organizations and that you don't have to keep it in the forefront of your mind. It just is an automatic thing.
Absolutely. And it allows the station to know that monthly they will have a specific amount of money. And it might, if everybody decided to do that, it might even keep us in a situation where we didn't even have to come on and do fund drives.
It's true.
So think about that as an alternative. $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever you can afford. And it's painless. So one of the things that I learned while I was out on the road is that these LED signs have, we know about the amber alerts, and the amber alerts are when children go missing. There's also a silver alert, which I learned about, which is when old people go missing. And as I was coming back to Santa Fe, driving through Texas, and you'd never hear about any of these things on national news, apparently, there was a very complex conversation about the fact that apparently Austin, Texas has grown so rapidly that the infrastructure, and especially the roads, have not been able to keep up with the population.
Right.
And so I-75 is apparently as bad per capita in terms of traffic as the highways around Los Angeles.
Ay, ay, ay.
So the LED signs are very important because they give warning to people about the situation on I-75 around Austin. But students, and we know there are a lot of students at the University of Texas at Austin, often run out of things to do, kind of like Dan Garrity and his iPad. And so they started breaking into the LED signs, the computer programs for the LED signs. And while I was driving, there was an alert that was a new alert. On the LED signs around Austin, it said, zombie alert. I-75 closed because of zombies. And then it went on to say, if you are on the road, roll up your windows, lock your doors, do not stop for people staggering along the side of the road.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
And they said, they were talking on the radio, and they said, did it cause problems on I-75? And the answer came, who would notice? The traffic wasn't moving, but it amused the people who were stuck in traffic.
And that's so very funny.
They changed all the software. They put up firewalls so that they couldn't break into the boxes of the LED signs. And the next day, the LED sign read, gorilla alert.
Nothing like putting up firewalls.
Nothing like putting up firewalls. Just a little more challenge for the nerds.
And young nerds.
That's right.
Can I just say nerds and geeks forever?
Nerds and geeks forever. I have a family filled with them. And they're some of the finest human beings around because they're just plain fun.
We have reached 75% of our goal. 428-1393 is the number. And please bring us over our $1,000 goal for this hour, and we can double the challenge that was set by Diane Karp at the beginning of the hour. 428-1393. I was thinking about the salvation of this crazy, beautiful green earth, which has so many people on it, and we have become this kind of keystone species on steroids and are taking over the earth and water and polluting it and warming the oceans and acidifying the oceans and warming the earth. And what is to be the salvation of us, and who's going to do it? And I think traditionally we have evolved so that the people who save us from danger are the warriors. The warriors aren't going to, you can't like force your way out of this through, you know, chest beating or shows of violent force. It's going to be the nerds and geeks who save us.
Yeah. The nerds and geeks in previous generations were the librarians. They were the teachers. And
scientists.
And the scientists, exactly. And now they're moving into the creative sector. And one of the things that I'm kind of hoping is that some of those crazy computer games that are usually about the breastfeeding warriors and destroying the earth are going to begin to turn themselves around and offer entertainment and engagement that's a little bit more about responsible, productive, constructive solutions to how we are in the world. I mean, one of the things that is becoming perfectly clear is that all of the fast food that's been tearing apart good health and well-being is now responding to the fact that we need to eat healthier, we need to be more responsible. And a lot of people went up in arms when McDonald's started developing things like Subway and healthier forms of food, but they're the ones who have the attention of the population. And if we can prick their conscience sufficiently to start providing healthier fast food, we are moving in a very important and positive direction.
And if we move even more in the direction of more local food,
yes,
that's the next step after that.
Well, that's exactly what the Arkansas farmers were talking about. They were talking about the fact that the drive has been to create foods that can travel long distances and be stable, but not necessarily to have the same food value or the same quality of taste. It's important that we sustain local farmers, because they're the ones who allow us to have locally sourced foods. And the agro-business and the large corporations have done a disservice in many ways, despite the fact that they have helped us to have higher productivity. Higher productivity is not the only thing that we need to be striving toward.
428-1393, 428-1393. And we are getting so close to our goal for this hour. But
we
haven't gotten there yet. We can taste it, and the taste is rich and nutritious.
Rich and nutritious and locally sourced.
428-1393. And, you know, supporting your farmer's market is a step toward that, and we try
Absolutely.
To support them on the radio. And I went there the other day, this past Saturday. I actually got out of bed before noon and headed over there. And what a wonderful place. And the thing is, you come home and you eat the lettuce and greens and stuff, then the radishes that you got there, and you make a little salad and salad dressing. And as dog is my witness, it just tastes like it's good for you.
Not only does it taste like it's good for you, and taste better, and taste fresher, but I've always been stunned by the fact that it stays fresh for so much longer.
Yeah.
And that's the reminder that what you often are served is stuff that has been picked weeks before. And you have to assume that some of the nutrients are going to be drained out as things sort of desiccate and,
yeah.
and sit on shelves or in freezers or in refrigerators. But all of the idea of local, the local flavor, the local community, is a rich and a sort of wonderful resource that allows you to feel like you are also locally an important part of how we are and who we are in the world. And, you know, talking about change, local change, change that comes from the grassroots, is really the most important change of all. And if we can keep that top of mind and pursue that, we can begin to make small waves that will radiate out.
428-1393, we need four more calls.
Oh, okay,
four more
guys.
Moderate calls to
Let's
get
have
to our goal
arts
for this
community
hour.
As they're waking up and listening, whether it's the writers or the painters or the sculptors or the installation artists or the filmmakers, please call in and support the radio that supports you.
428-1393 or the toll-free number 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. And can we include the farmers?
we can definitely include all the farmers and all the people who eat what the farmers produce.
Yep.
So while I was on the road, I decided to take one of my little hand-painted signs. There was a quilting bee in Sydney, Nebraska.
All right.
And I decided to go down and check it out. I never found it. It was probably a sign from the day before or the week before. Or maybe it was a sign for the next day. But I pulled into a tiny little old-fashioned gas station that didn't take credit cards at the pump. You had to actually go in and talk to the man who was in the little house at the gas station. And I was amused because when I went in to pay him, and of course they only take cash. I gave him cash, and he said, "How much are you going to put in?" And I said, "Well, I was going to fill it up." And he said, "And how much is that?" I sort of stared at him, and I realized that when I used my credit card, I wasn't really aware of how much it was costing to put gas in.
10 gallons.
And so, well, there you go. Had I but known. But how much is that going to cost you? And so I said, "Well, how about if I just leave you with $40, and then I'll come back for my change?" And he said, "Okay." And I went out, and I took the pump, and as I was lifting it up, I noticed that the pump said, "May contain up to," and 10 was written in black numbers, and in pen, someone had added another zero, 100% ethanol. Which made me laugh because Sydney, Nebraska is situated in the midst of nothing but cornfields.
Right.
And I just chuckled away, and then I went in to get my change, and I said to the guy in the gas station, "Are you aware of the fact that someone went and fixed your, and changed your sign?" Which was a little written sign that was taped onto the pump. I said, "So it doesn't say 10% anymore, it says 100%. And he just looked at me and he said, "Yep." And I thought, okay, corn for everyone.
428-1393, 428-1393. What a wonderful thing to be able to go cross country and meet our fellow citizens.
Yes, yes. I became completely fascinated by the diversity of people. Not only how they look, but how they sound and how they behave. It really is local.
428-1393, and I think the calls are coming in. Do we have a report from the control room?
You do indeed. Lots of thanks.
Yay.
Christy Hanks.
Thank you.
Yay. She thinks, Mary Charlotte, you are the best on the air, and she's just crazy about Diane Karp, too.
Yay.
We
she's
love
a
Christy
wonderful
Hanks.
Artist.
A marvelous artist.
Okay. John Gordon.
Yay, thank
Yay,
you.
John Gordon.
Virginia Barsky.
Yay, thank you, Ginny.
And another admirer of KSFR and you, Mary Charlotte, Kivera Coalition.
Oh, they're so great. They're going to be on the air next week.
Yes.
And Janet Davidson.
Thank
Yay,
you, Janet.
And that Family Anonymous keeps calling.
I know.
We love them.
As I always say, they are some of the most distinguished artists in the history of civilization.
Yes. To be sure.
428-1393. If we get two more calls, we will be well over our goal for this hour. 428-1393 and 866-907-5737. Support the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Support KSFR. And it's such a privilege to be on the air. And it's such a great thing to talk to you, Diane Karp. And I'm so glad you have joined the KSFR Board of Directors. How come you chose, of all the many worthy organizations, chose us?
Well, because I think that public radio, really independent public radio that is community-based, is such a rare commodity. And as I said, driving around the country, it became more and more clear that this is a treasure. And in order to keep the treasure secure, we have to support.
That's the number is 428-1393. And we're here in the Santa Fe Baking Company, where the coffee is delicious, the chai is wonderful, the bacon is plentiful.
And also, all parts of the community meet here. There are places in Santa Fe where you can go and you can find different sort of fragments and pieces of the community coming together and meeting. But the Baking Company is one of those wonderful crossroads. And you can find the guys who are going out to fix the road and the folks who are gone off to serve at the bank and the people who are in government and the people who are in the arts and the people who are just living here. Everybody seems to cross at the Santa Fe Baking Company.
It's true. It's a kind of classless or multi, kind of every class and demographic of people.
Yes.
In the whole city, and tourists and non-tourists, they're all here.
Yep.
And they're all eating and drinking the same wonderful things that they have in this place. I love this place. The same, it's run by three brothers, and then behind the counter are about nine more brothers from a different family, and it is a really family-run place. I mean, talk about local. Talk about local community
exactly.
organizations. The Santa Fe Baking Company is yet another one of them.
Yes, and it serves food that represents the sort of diversity. You can get the best apple strudel.
With bacon.
With bacon. Everything comes with bacon. Everything's better with bacon.
I think so. 428-1393. We've got just a minute left, and I hope those last couple of calls come in, and we will come back after the news to let people know how we did. But once again, please help us meet our challenge. Two more calls, 428-1393, 428-1393. And Diane Karp, so you are back. You and your dog arrived back safely after putting 9,241 miles on your car. And here to join to enjoy the beautiful Santa Fe autumn.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to staying in Santa Fe and connecting with a bunch of other organizations that are doing amazing things, including KSFR. But I also want to thank you, Mary Charlotte, because you enable public radio to really have that local flavor as well as international and national flavors. You bring some of the most astoundingly creative and interesting people
well,
to
thank
speak
you.
Directly to us, and you ask the questions that we wish we were smart enough to ask.
Or that you have, what I love is people say, hey, that's what I wanted to ask him, and I was listening, and then you asked him, yay. So, no, it's good. It's a wonderful thing. We've just got a few seconds left. Diane Karp, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, 428-1393, and we'll be back after the news to see if we met our challenge. Thank you so much, wonderful listeners. Thank you, Diane Karp.
Gracias.